Now, listeners, today we are so honored to have a servant of God that has been involved in the ministry for over 53 years, as pioneered and has been a man of God that we would consider a leader amongst leaders, a man that has inspired, has brought correction, has brought godly order to many in ministry today. A servant of God who is highly respected in the Christian circle, not only locally, nationally, but even internationally. A man of God that God has been using so powerfully, even in the church. And so I want to welcome today Pastor Jacob Isaac. Welcome, Pastor Jacob, to Lotus FM.
Thank you, Pastor Niven.
It's such a joy to have you, Pastor. And, you know, you are such a tremendous blessing. And I know the listeners out there are really expecting for you to share. And, you know, today, the word that is in my spirit, Pastor Jacob, is the word observation. And I believe you being involved with the ministry has observed many things. And we'd like to start off with this incredible journey of your life. I don't know if you will agree, but I believe that our life is a holy pilgrimage. Our life is a holy pilgrimage as we live for God. And I've often said from the moment we've come to know Him that our lives have never been the same. And looking at your life, today we're going to discuss to the listeners, we're going to be discussing a little bit about a book that Pastor Jacob wrote, Journal of a Journey. At the same time, we want to speak about 30 years of democracy. And so we're going to get into some of that as well today. But just to share to our listeners, they always like to know, where did you grow up, Pastor Jacob? Your early years.
Pastor Nguyen, just going back to really speaking.
Yes.
In 1949, my mother was pregnant with me.
Wow.
And she found herself in a popular place in Durban that was Victoria Street.
Yes.
Where the markets were.
Wow.
At that time, our families were living in the Maranil Desanook rural area of Durban.
Yes.
Pine Town. She came into town, pregnant with me, to do some shopping.
Yes.
And that's when one of those historical moments in this year of 1949.
Yes.
For the Indian community especially.
Yes.
What was known as the riots.
Yes.
For whatever reason, this riot started. We don't know who started it and who initiated it. My mother was caught up.
Yes.
And she had to run for her life from Victoria Street all the way to the Greville area and had to go to the magazine barracks where Indians were housed.
Wow.
Some of the Indians that were working with the army base, but the magazine barracks were known for Indians that were staying there. And I was born prematurely there.
Wow.
In the barracks, far away from home.
During the riots?
During the riots.
My gosh.
And I think about myself really, and people ask me about myself and when I was born.
Yes.
I say I was born in perilous times.
Yes.
Just like Moses.
Yes.
In Egypt.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's why I'm crazy sometimes.
Wow. And, you know, Pastor, you often speak of this town that was called Tin Town.
Yes.
For my generation, we may not necessarily know exactly where that was, but can you share?
That is more about also our country, South Africa.
Yes.
During apartheid time.
Yes.
There was mass movement of people out of wherever they were living, and they were dumped in different places. Mm-hmm. So there was one time we were living in the city itself. and through what is called separate development or apartheid.
Yes.
We were placed according to our race in different townships.
Correct.
But before they could build those houses, we were allocated land which was supposed to be temporary structures made of wood and iron.
Yes.
And that's where the word tin town came
from. Okay, yes.
And it was supposed to be a temporary program.
Yes.
But we had to stay there for more than 20 years.
My gosh.
It ended up. And that is where I was raised.
Yes.
And the story of my ministry and Christian life.
Yes.
Really, and the encounter with God started during that time we were living in Tintown.
Wow. And it wasn't just you, it was a big family.
Very big family of 9 children.
And then I read in your book, the cousins would be coming over.
And then the cousins.
Yes.
And one of the things was the culture of our family, the extended family, that wherever the eldest uncle moved, all his younger brothers and sisters also moved from wherever they were and came to the same area, no matter where they stayed, but they were within the... That was the smaller community within the bigger community.
Yes. Now, you know, Pastor, I've often heard reference to your father.
That's right.
And can you tell us a little bit
about... Yes, my dad, really, before I had a personal encounter with Christ, he came from another religious background.
Yes.
And my mother was not well.
Yes.
And there's that story where there was a man of God who prayed for her.
Yes.
And she got a deliverance. And since then, my parents started going to church. But I wouldn't say at that stage that there was so much of depth and thing. But my father was involved in ministry and so forth. But
correct.
Later on, through all the movements and not having a local church and a local leader to be at one place.
Yes.
Eventually, you know, there was this backsliding kind of thing. And but only in Tintown, Pastor Niven.
Yes.
I was 21 years old.
Wow.
In the month of May.
Yes.
I drove with my friends. We were going to the cinema when we had music coming from a tent in Quarry Road and Alpine Road corner, where now you'll see Macro and Springfield Park.
Correct.
And we decided, I told my friends, next day we're going to there to hear some music.
Yes.
And have some fun.
Yes.
When we went into the tent that night, I didn't realize, only later on I was conscious that we were not having fun.
Yes.
We were always joking and playing, and we thought there we're going to have some fun. We realized there was an atmosphere there, and I'm looking at my friends and none of them were laughing.
Yes.
Because the air was pregnated with the presence of God. Only I understood this later. At that time, I didn't understand what was happening. But I was stubborn. I had to go there afterwards every night. But only the third night, I ran to the altar when the evangelists, and there were two evangelists preaching in that crusade at that time, Pastor Niven.
Yes.
Evangelist Derek Finn and Evangelist Michael Henry.
Wow.
And first time, and that was the last time I saw, where there were two evangelists taking turn every night for 14 nights preaching together in unity.
Yes.
And each of them were powerful preachers. I've never heard. So on the third night, I couldn't hold back anymore. I ran down to the altar. There was no carpets in those days, no fancy stages.
Yes.
I fell in the mud there.
Yes.
And I gave my heart to Jesus.
Wow. 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 And these two men were known as two of the greatest preachers at the time.
In South Africa.
Derek Finn and Michael Henry.
That's right.
Derek Finn is still alive today.
Yes. He's over 80 now.
And still doing the work.
Yes.
And, you know, recently Dr. Michael had passed on.
Yeah, yeah.
But these men have inspired your life.
Very much so. Very much so. In fact, when we're talking about evangelism and tent ministry, it's nothing like what we see today. You know, it was just the word.
Yes.
Preaching of the word of God.
Yes.
And I've seen after that, I've seen miracles and I've seen people's lives transformed.
Yes.
And changed. And I, not long ago, 6 months later, I went into the full-time ministry.
Yes. Wow. So can I say this, Pastor Jacob? Can I just use this term? There was no gimmicks.
There was no gimmicks. They didn't need it.
Yes.
Because God was there.
Yes.
You see, when God is absent, then you have to have all the tricks.
Yes. Correct.
That's unfortunate. People have substitutes.
Yes.
For the presence of God.
Wow. 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 And later in your journey, and you know, we really need to bring you back. But later in your journey, you ended up serving with Dr. Michael Henry. For about 3 years.
Yes. In fact, the very next day, when the crusade was ended, I didn't go to work because I drove my father's Toyota van.
Yes.
To go and pick up, help the evangelist to dismantle the tent, load it, and take it in. And return it to where it was.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of my involvement straight away.
Wow. And this was during the time of the apartheid era in South Africa.
Oh, apartheid.
Yes.
That's right.
And that brings us to my next question, Pastor Jacob. You know, it's so amazing that my station manager, Alvin Pillay, actually requested this. And knowing your life and being a pioneer of the faith, and a voice, a Christian voice to this nation, and you yourself being involved with many different aspects of ministry and involved with the nation itself, your perspective, because we are looking at with SABC 30 years of democracy in this month, your perspective as a Christian leader concerning democracy and how it's impacted you in ministry.
I want to also share this, Pastor Niven. I think when you're talking about perspective, that's an accurate word used. And what I see around here, even with the best of politicians, they lack accurate perspective of this country.
Correct.
In fact, they are limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of depends where their frame of reference is.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody talks about apartheid, that's a limited perspective, Pastor.
Correct.
Because whatever ills we're facing in this country now and before did not start with apartheid.
Yes.
Some people will say, no, it started in 1652.
Mm-hmm.
When the Dutch landed in the Cape and colonized the Cape province at that time.
Yes.
And that's when this discrimination, this violence, and then it started. No, we go back, we have to learn as Christians that it started in the beginning, not long after God created Adam and Eve.
Yes.
The eldest son. Committed the first murder.
Yes.
He killed his younger brother.
Yes.
So our perspective is poor when we blame a certain season or a certain group of people. This started from the beginning.
Yes.
When the devil, the enemy, entered the garden and misled and confused and robbed them of the salvation. That's what we call, as Christians, we call it the fall of man.
Yes.
That's when all this has happened. So if you have to solve any problem in the world, we have to have an accurate perspective to see when it started, or else we are going to water down our solutions.
Yes, correct.
And therefore, when I hear politicians now preparing for elections and you know, I just look at them and I feel so sorry for them because they are so pathetic and making promises.
Yes.
They're thinking that as long as people got a job, everybody's going to be happy. They think that if, you know, you the constitution will be changed to bring this in and bring that in.
Yes.
Now, people's lives need to be changed.
Yes, absolutely.
From the inside out.
Absolutely.
So, talking about democracy, 1948, the apartheid government with the Nationalist Party brought about what was called separate development. And I think we must be accurate with interpreting what is apartheid. This group of Afrikaners thought that they're doing everybody a favor by saying, listen, you are an Indian.
Yes.
You know, you take care of yourself as Indians.
Yes.
And you can do whatever you like, but you stay in your own place. Don't interfere. We whites, we will stay, but, you know, we are the top brass people.
Yes.
And the blacks, you know, push them into the homelands and coloreds. So I grew up under that apartheid system.
Yes.
And then they came up with the separate development, and we had three parliaments, really. The tricameral parliament, where the whites had what was called the assemblies.
Yes.
And the coloreds had the House of Representatives. Indians had House of Delegates.
Yes.
And the so-called black people were placed wherever the traditional homeland was. And their chiefs and kings. And so the money or the treasury was just sent to the different people to take care of them. So there in KZN, we had the Zulu nation.
Yes.
And their headquarters was Ulundi. And then we had people who come from another tribe, and they had people like Mantanzima on the other side and so forth. And then the struggle, so-called struggle, started and so forth. And in 1994, we call it democracy. But people don't understand. They love the word democracy. But the word democracy actually means people's power.
Yes. Yes.
Demo
means
power.
Yes.
Krisi means a culture.
Wow.
People. People.
Yes.
Power. Power. Demo. People. Then, and, but do the people really have power? You see, there's another big question.
Absolutely.
And all these things through the years,
yes,
I had to expose myself to this. And even as a pastor,
yes,
I had to do political science to understand the real dynamics. So if you ask me the question about the 30 years, oh, there was euphoria.
Yes.
That time, the great so-called liberator, Mandela, came out of prison out of 27 years. And you can really respect and give him that kind of a honor. Prepared to pay the price for what he believed. He had conviction.
Correct.
And after 27 years, eventually with all the pressure from the world, he is released. In 1992, I was building one of my churches in Chatsworth, and I brought the television set while we were building, working, so I didn't want to miss the release of Madiba.
Yes.
And I saw how he came out of Baltimore prison, and then somebody provided a Cressida, a new one.
Then. Yes, Toyota Cressida. Yeah.
And he was driving with Winnie Mandela in his car. And the crowds were so excited, the streets, that he couldn't even drive. You know, they couldn't drive him through because the people were excited. There was that euphoria. He's a man who's come to liberate them and so forth. So if you're talking 30 years, you don't have enough time today for us to deal with this thing.
Sure.
But I'm just giving you some kind of highlight. But And his first speech, his first speech in Cape Town.
Yes.
I watched and I listened to him. And the only policy he had studying communism, Marxism, and he said that when we take over power, we're going to take over the banks and take over the industry. Mines.
Yes, industry.
In other words, it's not going to be in the hand of private people.
Yes.
Because that's what communism is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't take long after he exposed himself to the world, to the World Bank, to IMF. They invited him. They paid for his fare to come and visit during the elections.
Yes.
And he changed his mind, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you saw that whatever he shared there, he changed his mind because perspective changes.
Yes.
You're living in a world, you know, you're not on an island.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have to trade with the world. So
correct.
He changed, and people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They even, some people, I believe, accused him of being drunk.
Mm.
He didn't know what he's doing, but he was a wise man.
Yes.
Yeah, I really respect him.
Yes.
Because when he sees reality, economic reality, you know.
Yes.
And that time, communism was failing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my perspective for the 30 years we're talking about.
Wow.
And the promises. In the first 5 years, we never had problem.
Yes.
By the way, as a young man, still in my 20s, I sat in classes of doing political science, and the lecturer was talking about, he said, if this country goes in a certain way, it goes in the right way, it'll prosper.
Yes.
If it goes in the wrong way, it's going to suffer. He said, if it goes in the wrong way, if you open your taps, you won't get water.
Mm.
I said, no, it can't be.
Wow.
Can't be. You know, that's far-fetched now.
Yes.
No water when you open the tap.
Yes.
No. And we're seeing that now.
Yes, reality.
It's because, and if only the politicians can have clear perspectives.
Mm.
Really. Now there's too much of emotion.
Mm.
And we want to have popular leaders. We don't want to have leaders who know what they're talking about. Mm. And leaders were unselfish, like Mandela.
Yes.
In fact, he did not want to take all the luxuries that was poured upon him.
Mm.
He just wanted to make sure his country wins.
Wow.
He must be turning in his grave right now when we see what is happening around us, Pastor Nevin.
Yes.
Yes.
Pastor Jacob, it's so incredible just talking with you. And, you know, Pastor Jacob, actually, I got a hold of Pastor Lucanus this week, your son, Pastor Lucanus. He said, what particular song would Pastor Jacob like for me to play? If you have a favorite song or a song that you really love. And he said, Jimmy Swaggart, he chose me. And by the way, how has this song really been a blessing to you in your days?
In fact, Pastor Niven, songs of this caliber sustained us during very hard times.
Yes.
When we felt like sometimes we like quitting.
Yes.
But then there's these songs that came. He chose me. And all my celebrated meetings I had, the young pastors that were saved in my ministry and went into ministry. And Pastor Richard Chetty is one of them who is now in Johannesburg.
Yes.
And one of his members is here. He's now my son-in-law.
Yes, yes.
And he would lead these songs, this song especially, in those gatherings when we had to remember. It's about memory.
Yes.
And I think that's another problem with human beings, lack of memory, loss of memory.
Yeah. And by the way, you were also a convener.
Song leader.
In Michael Henry's Crusades.
That's right.
You know.
Yes.
Now, Pastor Jacob, it's so incredible. In fact, we need more time with you. And we just actually just started the topic, you know.
Exactly.
And we've only got about 5 minutes more before we have to get into the next song and come to a close.
Yeah.
But I know there are people listening from all over, all walks of life. And, you know, I want you to just share a thought or word with them, just to encourage our listeners today.
You know, that happiness and joy does not come from things that we own. Mm-hmm. There must be an internal revolution, because what has happened through disobedience to God's word, our minds have been damaged.
Yes.
By the enemy. And therefore, the gospel, when you say the gospel hour, mm-hmm. the gospel is actually good news.
Yes.
But before you bring good news, you've got to understand what is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is damaged minds.
Yes.
And when your mind is damaged, everything else, your mind is the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
If that is damaged, everything else gets damaged. It's the engine room. And therefore we need our minds to be touched. And Jesus said, and the apostles said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And when the mind is touched and healed, mm-hmm. and restored, everything else falls into place. So we need order.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the world of chaos. We need order once again.
Amen.
We don't have the time to really go into the details of that. Mm-hmm. Personally, man.
Yes. And you know, even when you look at the mindset, it's so important to have the correct mind, the correct thing. The biggest problem with this generation is they're not thinking.
That's it.
You know, everything is on the phones. Everything is fast. They don't have to think.
It's emotional.
Yes.
You can't think with your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to be sensible.
Yes.
You got to be objective.
Correct.
And your thinking to evaluate. And that's one of the things, and I'm closing with this.
Mm-hmm.
This book is all about my bus stops.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
Thinking, stopping and thinking. My bus stops cause me to think,
mm-hmm.
reevaluate.
Yes.
So when they get the book, hopefully they will see.
Yes. And that book, again, Journal of a Journey. I've actually read the book. My wife has read this book. My daughter has read this book. And, you know, reading this book, by the way, I felt like I was reading a continuation of the book of Acts.
Mm.
And the difference about this, you know, I've read books, 21 Steps to Miracles, 10 Steps to This Blessing.
Mm.
And but this is a life story.
Mm.
This is a journey. And you're sharing. When you read this book, I felt like I was with you in that moment. We could feel what you felt. And, you know, they say there's a story to the glory.
Mm.
And people don't know the story sometimes. And this book has really actually brought tears to our eyes and has touched our life. In fact, this book has stirred up my faith in the work of God. And sometimes brought us back to some reality. Because sometimes, I say to the young generation, sometimes we can be, Pastor Jacob, sometimes very high up that we forget. Yes. And this is a reminder.
Yes.
And even in your journey, you've remembered those that have been there in your difficult times.
Yes.
And as God has brought you today. So two churches in Chatsworth, one in Chatsworth, one in Phoenix, and then sons all over
the country and internationally too.
Yes.
And regarding the book, I was tried to be pushed by many people to write.
Yes.
Long time ago.
Yes.
Look back, and I thank God I didn't write,
mm-hmm.
because I would have written some things and later on asked people to tear pages out of it.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you're wet behind your ears.
Yes. Yes.
And you give your perspective.
Yes.
You regret, you know. But looking back, this is my first book. I never wrote a book.
Yes. Yes.
And, but it is in story form.
Yes.
But the bus stops of my life are those times and places of transition and transaction.
Absolutely. Pastor Jacob, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for us before we close. There are many out there that have been listening to this tremendous hour. And, you know, by the way, this we're at Lotus FM, we're going to make this a podcast,
okay,
which will be available.
Okay.
The entire interview will be on a podcast, which will be on our social platforms, and you will receive it to share with whoever wants to hear, listen to this interview. And they can watch it also here on our Lotus FM Facebook page. But Pastor Jacob, I'm going to ask you one more thing, just to pray.
Okay.
Pray for all our listeners. There are people all over the country right now that are both watching and listening to the show. So won't you pray and then we close.
Dear Father in heaven, we approach you in the name of your Son,
yes,
Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago, this Easter weekend,
yes,
he hung on a cross and our sins were on his shoulders, our sins. But it not only stayed in the cross, not only he stayed in a tomb, but
yes,
he rose on the third day to give us life. And I pray for those listeners right now.
Yes.
Please, Lord, touch them. Change their hearts and their minds. I pray that revelation will come to them. Perspective will come. Right where they are, they can meet with you. Right there, a revolution can take place, a change of heart and mind. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, dear listeners, we've been talking to Pastor Jacob Isaac here, and in such an incredible time speaking to Pastor Jacob Isaac. Now, Pastor Jacob, there are so many messages. We can't even respond. My apologies, listeners. People from Johannesburg, we have Roselle from Johannesburg, who's saying that she's so thankful for you sharing this insight. And they all are asking for a copy of the book. Where can they purchase a copy of the book? And we'll be able to give them some more information.
They can
contact us, all right? We'll give them information. And many are asking about the churches in Chatsworth. Can you just share us the address of the church?
The one church in Chatsworth is Souls Haven Ministries.
Yes.
It's in Croftdean, and next to the old swimming pool. The one in Phoenix.
Yes.
Is in Salad Grove.
Yes. In Grove End.
Grove End.
And what time are your services on Sunday, Pastor?
The Phoenix one starts at 9 o'clock. The Chatsworth one starts at 10 o'clock.
Amen. Well, dear listeners, thank you and God bless you for tuning in for this amazing hour with Pastor Jacob Isaac. And it's just been a time of refreshing and reflecting. And it's such a blessed time. Thank you, Pastor Jacob Isaac. Thank you for such words of inspiration that has even challenged our hearts. You've challenged us today in our thinking, that sometimes we need to rethink a lot of things. So we praise God for all that he's doing. And to all the listeners, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. Don't forget to stay tuned in, for your spiritual journey continues on Lotus FM just after the 8 o'clock news with Dean Yap. And after that, Uncle Ebi will be in studio with the Kawali Hour. Thank you and God bless you as I...
Lotus FM.
Yeah.
Share the experience.